Thanks for tuning in to the Hope Church podcast. We hope that you're blessed and encouraged to walk out the gospel as you listen to this message.
Good morning, everybody. Guys, the sermon is so big today, I had to have three tables to preach it. It's amazing. Man, it's so good to see you all this morning. For real, you are just amazing, our church. It was amazing to be out worshiping outside Wednesday night for All Together Night. So good to be with you today. I just have a couple quick little things I want to share with you before we jump into what we're going to do today. But this coming Wednesday night, we're actually going to have, right in this room at 6:30, a night of worship and prayer and intercession. Yeah, we're going to be praying for our nation. We're going to be doing that the next two Wednesday nights at 6:30 here. Kids ministries will not be running, but our Hope student ministries, our youth aged students will be having their time at 6:30 as well, just like they normally do. But in this room, I want to encourage you to come if you're able to do that. The other thing I wanted to mention, do we have any young adults in the room? Okay, I think they mostly come to 10:30, 10:45. They're sleeping still. But I want to welcome all college students, post-college, 20-somethings, out to our house tonight for a bonfire. For dinner and bonfire, 6 o'clock, you can go on the Hope website and find out how to get there and all of that. We're going to have a wonderful time. So this morning, we're going to do something that we have never done before. And I'm not sure that I've actually ever seen it done in a service before. How many are afraid? Don't worry, I'm not going to do any cartwheeling or anything like that. In just a few minutes, I'm going to invite a few of my friends to join me on the stage. And we're going to actually read and pray through the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. We're going to read literally every word of the Sermon on the Mount. I don't think you will ever have been in a service where more scripture has been read. How many say that's not a bad thing? It's going to be good. We're not going to bring commentary on it. There isn't anybody going to be preaching it. We're actually going to let the sermon that Jesus preached speak to us. We're going to let the bare word of God, the words of Jesus, just pierce our hearts and wash over our hearts this morning. But before we begin, I just want to give a little context to this sermon, that leading up to the sermon, Jesus had just spent 40 days in the wilderness. He'd been baptized. He comes out of the wilderness full of the Holy Spirit, and he begins his ministry. And he just called his disciples to leave the life that they'd been living behind and to follow him. He just called the disciples. In Matthew chapter 4, this all happens in there leading up to the sermon. He'd been healing the sick. He'd been casting out demons. He'd been just healing those who were oppressed in every way. And it says that his fame spread. So Jesus got famous quick. People were following him from all over. And it says this. It says, seeing the crowd, he went up on the mountain and he sat down. His disciples came to him, and it says that he opened his mouth. How many know that when Jesus opens his mouth, it's a good moment? He opens his mouth, and he begins to preach to them this Sermon on the Mount. I recently heard, and I've said this before in here, I recently heard somebody say that the Sermon on the Mount is the constitution of the kingdom. When I heard that, there was something in it that really resonated with me, that it is like the manifesto, the marching orders that Jesus gave to his disciples. The word, I was looking this up, the word manifesto. Can you say manifesto? Manifesto. The word manifesto describes the declaration of policy, particularly before an election by a political party or candidate. Isn't that wild? Like, we've been hearing a lot of political manifestos, haven't we? Is anybody tired of all the political manifestos, right? But I want to tell you today that as we get into this sermon, I want to tell you that there is one manifesto that is high and above every other manifesto. And it's not a political one. It is not a political one. It's the manifesto of the kingdom of God that comes straight from the mouth of the Son of God. And that's what we're going to be in today. What we're about to read in these three chapters is the very value system of the kingdom of God. The Sermon on the Mount is an invitation to kingdom life. It's actually an invitation for the followers of Jesus to actually be Jesus' people. It's a radical call, actually, as we read it, as these words pierce our heart. It's a radical call to follow him in a counter-culture kind of way, which is really one of the central themes of the entire Bible, right? That God has always been calling a people to be set apart. He's always been, from the very beginning in Genesis, he's been calling a people to be set apart for him, to be very much in the world, but very much not of the world. And as we jump into this today, these three chapters actually give us vision for what kingdom life and community look like when we're under the rule of God. How many want to live under the rule of God? I know you do. I do too. I want to tell you, living under the rule of God, living in the kingdom of God, it looks different. It looks different than the world around us. It looks different sometimes even than the life that we live as followers of Jesus. Have you ever had a moment where you were living a certain way and then Jesus spoke to your heart and you said, wow, I was not living kingdom there. I was not living kingdom there. And as I read through the sermon, I've been meditating over this over the last couple of months. We prayed through it as a staff. And as we began to read the words, different ones would just begin to weep because the words of Jesus are so powerful and convicting. But one of the things that stood out to me as I read this sermon is that six times through the sermon, Jesus says, "You've heard it said, but I say." You've heard it said, but I say. And he was giving the true intent and the spirit of the law. But I want to just suggest to us today that sometimes, even in church culture, even in Christian culture, we pick up things along the way. We pick up mindsets. We pick up ideologies that are, I don't know where we get them from. We pick them up. But we say, I hear today Jesus is going to say, "You've heard it said like this in your church. You've heard it said like this in Christian culture, but I'm saying this. But I'm saying this." There's so many different narratives that are flying around right now that if we aren't grounded in kingdom narratives, we're going to be swept up in all the other narratives that are shouting for our attention. I said there was going to be no preaching, and clearly I already am. In the same way, though, I'm passionate about this for us as a church. It might be good for us to spend the next like 6 months in the Sermon on the Mount, honestly. I heard one amen back there. Yes, I heard that. In the same way, though, that God gave Moses the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, Jesus goes up on a mountain, he calls his disciples to join him, and there he teaches them the values of the kingdom of heaven. I believe it's a message for this hour. Would you stand with me? We're going to open up in prayer, and I'm going to invite my friends to come up here on the stage with me. And I would just encourage you, if you have your Bibles, you can grab them. They'll be on the screen, but don't worry, you're not going to stand for the whole sermon, for the three chapters. But I want us to actually just put our hands out in front of us this morning, and I want us to open up in prayer today. Would you just offer yourselves before the Lord this morning? You guys can come up here. Our team, come on, they're a little slow. Here we go. Jesus, I pray even right now that as we begin to open your words, that you would challenge our belief systems. Holy Spirit, would you come and would you fill the atmosphere? Would you ignite our hearts with the words of Jesus? I pray that every belief system that does not line up to your belief system, you would challenge it and it would be brought down. That we would come into alignment. Would you pierce our hearts with your words? Holy Spirit, we welcome you to lead us today into all truth. And I pray that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You can sit. All right. Well, I want to introduce everybody that's up here, and then we're going to get right into it. And we're going to actually take communion at the end tonight. It's going to be, not tonight, this morning. It's going to be a long service, guys. We're going all day. So down here we have Heath Adamson. Y'all know Heath. Carice Music. My wife, Christy. Cherie Whaley. And Diego Vienna. Can you give them all a hand? Diego's from Brazil, so you're going to enjoy him reading the most. because we all know that when there are accents from other countries, it's just more anointed. It just is. But I'm really excited about this today. And so if you have your Bibles, open up to Matthew chapter 5. And Heath is just going to begin us.
Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." God, I pray that our definition of being blessed will be the same as yours. I pray for those moments when it is hard, when we are mistreated, when we struggle, when things are not aligned with your character and your attributes in our response from the posture of our heart. We are blessed. I thank you, God, that your dictionary is different than ours. And I pray that we will frame our world and predetermine our response by the way you see things. I thank you that we are blessed, even when it doesn't always feel that way, even when we don't always see it that way, that blessing is real, it is palpable, for it is in you. And that's where we find ourselves today. Thank you that we can be blessed, Jesus.
"You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Father, I thank you that that's who you've created us to be. Father, that we wouldn't try and hide in the seasoning cabinet behind other things. But God, that we would step out in front in boldness and in confidence, not in ourselves, but in knowing who you are and who you've called us to be. Father, I pray that we wouldn't hide our lights, that we wouldn't turn down the light, the wattage on the lights that you've placed within us, but we would turn it up bright. Yes. Because that's who you've called us to be, not even just at the base of the hill, but on top of the mountain with our light shining bright, because that's who you are inside of us, God, that you are not dim, that you are bright. You are the highest wattage of light. God, let that be who we boldly step out and shine before men. God, that it's not a deafening light or a pain light, God, but it is illuminating. It illuminates the dark and guides us, Father. Let us look to you to be the light and look to who you've called us to be. Your Holy Spirit that guides us and is our light, empowering us to be light for others. In Jesus' name.
Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come to abolish them. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven.
Verse 21, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gifts. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly, I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. Can we pray together on this? Father, I pray that we would be those that are quick to forgive. I pray that we would be those that walk with a real openness to your voice, that Father, if there is ever a thing that comes between us and anyone, that we would be quick to go to that person. Even before we would come to the house of worship, that we would lay our offering down and say, we have to make this right. Father, I pray that we would show the world who you are, that we would be those that are quick to forgive, that we are those that would quickly go and make things right with others. I even pray in this time that we're in right now where there is so much offense, Father, I pray that the church, that the followers of Jesus, that we would be radical in this, that we would never let anything come between us and others. We would go to them. I pray that we would show the world who you are through this, in Jesus' name.
You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. So, Lord, I pray that if there is anything in any of our hearts that would be keeping us from relationship with you, that we would cut it out, Lord, that we would take it out, that we would remove it, that there would be nothing in our hearts that our eyes, that our hands see or do that would keep us in right relationship with you. And so, Lord, I just pray right now, God, that you would stir in our hearts, Lord, that you would quicken our heart and our minds to be able to see those things, Lord, that we would want to quickly remove them. And, Lord, I just pray a covering over marriages today. I pray a covering over our marriages, that there would be nothing that would be able to come into the relationship between the man and that woman, Lord. God, I pray that there would be nothing that would come in the way of the love that you have bound together. And so, Lord, I pray right now, Lord, a covering, protection over homes, protection over the wife and the husband, that you would bind them together, that you would grow their love so strong, God, that nothing can penetrate it, Lord. We thank you, God, Lord, that you are the creator of marriages and that nothing is going to stand between that covenant. In the name of Jesus, I pray.
Verse 33. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. Father, so I know there is a hunger and a desire for justice in this nation now, with so many things going on in the last few months. But you've introduced different justice to earth with your Son. Lamb of God, when you came, you were justice from heaven. You bore sin. You bore, Lord, all of our iniquities on your back. So I ask you, Lord, that you would turn our eyes to you in the throne of grace and mercy, that you'd find justice in there. It wouldn't be the eye for an eye anymore. It wouldn't be tooth for tooth, Lord. Cause our hearts, Lord, to see justice the way you see. In the name of Jesus, amen.
You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Lord, I pray for those who are wounded, who have deep wounds from enemies, those who were abused, judged, criticized, those who have been violated, those who face other enemies like depression. I pray for the enemies that need to go away, to disappear from our lives, but for the enemies that we have confused with people you've called us to love, Lord, we step in and we say, yes, we will love people. I pray that we will love people we disagree with. I pray that we will love people who are different than we are. I pray that we will love people who, in some ways, have become like an enemy because they have mistreated and violated and at times done harm. Lord, we choose to love them. Show us what love looks like. Give us wisdom to know the difference between putting up boundaries and isolating ourselves. Give us wisdom to know how to love enemies without tolerating abuse. Help us discern how to love people in a way that you love them, Jesus. Teach us, for this does not come natural, and it is not easy. But yet you've called us to do so. So we say yes, we will love our enemies.
Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Father, I pray that we would carry your heart of humility. God, that we would live and walk and move in humility. God, in Springfield and these surrounding areas, Father, that we would not be afraid or too prideful to be the hands and feet in Jesus to our community that so desperately needs you. God, that we would be the ones who aren't looking for a good job, because Jesus wasn't looking for a good job. He was doing it because he was walking love. Father, may we be walking love to Springfield and to Republic and to Willard and Rogersville and Marshfield and Ozark and Nixa and all of the surrounding places, God. May we be walking love in Walmart and Target and in all of the stores, God. May we be walking love or driving love behind the wheel of our vehicles. And when we're pedaling through town and in our neighborhoods, may we be walking love to our neighbors that we do know, that we don't know, that are grumpy, that are happy. God, may we be never changing in our display of your love. May we be consistent in our love for you and in the way that we live our lives.
I just want us to keep praying into that for a minute. Would you just lift your hands? Could we just begin to pray in the Spirit this morning out loud? We're just going to ask that. May we be walking love. Come on, let's just ask that for just a fresh anointing to see this way, to view life this way. Come on, church, would you just lift your voices all over? Any of you that want to jump in and pray, Father, that we would shine so bright with your love, walking love. All over the city right now, when there's so much division all over the place, may the church be walking love. All of us, God, just shining with the goodness, compassion, your hands and feet. I pray that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. We're not just doing this as a formality today. Could we take a good 60 seconds and just really ask him to open that up for fresh vision over us? Would you pray out loud with us today? Just walking love in the workplace, in the marketplace, in the school place, in the home place. Walking love. Jesus.
Yeah, Lord, everywhere we go, people would see you, that we would point to you. God, that we'd be so generous, not just with our money, but with our time, with our intentions, with the things that we put our hands to, not to be seen for such reward as people around us to see, but because you see it, God. You see all those hidden places, God. So, Lord, I just pray that we would have such generosity in our hearts to love on people, to spend time with people, to want to be able to have our hearts break when their hearts are breaking, God. Lord, that we would see people through your eyes, that we would see this city through your eyes, because that's when change will happen, when our hearts break like your hearts break, Lord. So God, I pray that you would do that even today, Lord. Lord, as we come in contact with people, instead of seeing them through our own human eyes of poverty, God, that we would see them as sons and daughters of the living God. Lord, how you've created them to be, Lord, that you would open our eyes to see them in that way, Lord. Break our hearts for what breaks yours. Lord, that we would want to give our time and our intentions to the lost, to the people who don't know you, that would be our heart's cry.
And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Lord, I thank you for your presence even right now that's in this room and in homes and in the family center right now. And I just thank you, God, that heaven is coming to earth. I thank you, God, that you see and know and hear, and you know everything before we even ask. You know everything before we even ask. And I want you to join me in praying this. Would you just repeat after me? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done in me as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done in my home as it is in heaven. God, help us not to forget these words. I pray that we pray them over our marriages. I pray that we pray them over our children, that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. That your kingdom come, your will would be done in our marriage. That your kingdom come, your will would be done in our children, in our businesses, in our society, in our city. God, that we would pray this as a church, as a family, that your kingdom would come and your will would be done. Wherever we step our foot, God, we bring the kingdom. Let us remember who we are and whose we are. And as we go out, God, let us represent you well. In Jesus' name.
Verse 16, and when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Isn't that good? Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Whew. Father, I pray right now that our priorities would be aligned with your priorities. Can we just cry that out together? Father, I pray for an alignment of our priorities in our daily life, that our priorities would be your priorities, that your priorities would be my priority, that you would have the first place in everything, Father. In our finances, even right now, I just pray that there would be an increase of desire to put you first in finances. Father, I pray that all over this room today, in my life, in Christy's life, that we would prioritize even the way we spend money to be in alignment with you. That it would not have a hold on us, that money would not own us, but that you would have our heart. That you would have our heart. Father, I pray this, that you would show us anywhere, even right now, Holy Spirit, like arrows to our hearts. Even right now, you're speaking. You're the sound of many waters. Father, I pray even right now that you would just even speak to our hearts where things have been out of alignment, and that we would come back to alignment with what you've called us to, Jesus. Pray that there would be a holy alignment in our priorities, especially in the area of finance, that our eyes would be fixed on you. Father, I pray that where our eyes go, that they would be fixed on you, that we would pay attention to what we are looking at and what our eyes are drawn to. Father, things that draw our eye away from you, things that are lesser loves, that are of unimportance, Father, I pray for a drawing back today to our eyes to you, Jesus, that we would not pursue power and money and all those things first, but our eyes would be drawn to you. I pray for that fixation of our eyes on you, to the church. Jesus, it's a radical call, giving our attention to you. We want to please you. That money would never be our master, that we would be free from the love of it, in Jesus' name.
Verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So Lord, I just pray right now, God, even when I first read this, it says, therefore, do not be anxious. Anxiety is not a kingdom principle. And so Lord, I just pray right now, God, that anybody that is dealing with anxiety today, that peace and joy would reign, that those kingdom principles would come and that would fill their hearts and their minds, Lord, that anxiety would not rule, that anxiety would not take hold, that that would not be the first thought that comes to mind of all the what ifs of the things that they're wondering how you're going to take care of them. Lord, I pray peace. I pray rest. I pray joy in your presence. God, I pray that just like your scripture said, that they would know your value, that they would know that how much their worth is, that you care about every single little detail of their life, Lord, and you're going to take care of all things, God. So I pray that their intentions would be to seek you first, and that all those other things will come into place, Lord, that our heart's cry would be to seek you first, God, and all of those things will come into place, Lord. Let us be reminded on a daily basis that our one job is to seek you, and everything else you fall into place, Lord. So God, I pray that we would not worry about tomorrow. We would not worry about all the future things, because right now it's really easy to do that. But God, I just pray right now that we would worry about today and that we would worry about seeking you first, and that in that everything else will fall into place. Yeah.
Yeah, just on that seeking first thing, and what Pastor Josh read, that we would treasure you, Jesus. That we would treasure you above everything. That the prayer of King David, one thing I've asked and one thing I'll seek, the seeking first. I ask, Lord, that we wouldn't just ask, but we would seek. We would seek you first. We would put you above everything else, Lord. Help us, Lord. Cause your church to make you the one thing. The one thing in the name of the Lord. You are the one thing. It can't be taken. You can't be taken from us. Everything else can be taken. You won't be taken. Come on, just lift up your hands. Just say, Lord, be my one thing. Be my one thing. Not the second thing, not the next thing, not the added thing to my life, but the one thing, the one pursuit, the one thing I seek. In the name of Jesus. Yes. Let's just keep praying that. Be the one thing, God. Oh, where our treasure is, our heart will be. Let our hearts be found in you, because we want to treasure you, Jesus. We want to treasure you. You're the fairest among thousands and thousands and thousands. Who is like you, Lord? Who is like you, Lord? That we would catch your eyes and would be so consumed by you, Lord. Deliver us from any distractions. Deliver us from all the other things. All the busy things. Come on, let's pray out loud. Come on. Be the one thing, Jesus. Be the one thing, Lord. Oh, you're the one thing. In this time, we've seen, Lord, when things get shaken, many things will be taken, but you never leave. You never leave. You're not going anywhere. You know, I heard it said like this once. What can you take away from someone that only wants Jesus? So I pray that over our church. I pray that over the church in America. Lord, cause us to be so passionate, so lost, so captured by you. And we would know that we have nothing to lose. Because no one can steal Jesus from us. Yes, God. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with judgment you pronounce, you'll be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when there is the log in your own eye? You're a hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Yes, God, have mercy of us. Have mercy. Help us, Lord. Clean our eyes. Let the scales fall. Let the scales fall. I pray that over myself. I pray that, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. Clean our eyes in Jesus' name. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you.
Verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Lord, we could spend the rest of our life asking. And I pray that we will always embrace the simplicity of asking. We come before a Father who delights to give good gifts to his children. So I pray we will never be too educated to simply ask. I pray that we will never make the issue too complex. We will simply ask. I pray that we will never allow unworthiness or lack of faith to keep us from asking. Lord, deposit the simple ask in our soul so that it's always there.
God, that we'd never think that something is too big to ask for, that it's bigger than what your hand from the Father's heart wants to give to his kids. Verse 12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Father, that we would be among the few. God, that we wouldn't get lost. Father, especially in this season, that we wouldn't be lost in the politics. Father, because all of the politics are part of that wide gate. You are not our political system, but you are our way. Father, that we would seek your way. God, that we wouldn't, our guide would not be what political leader is saying what. But Father, just as this whole thing that we would say, but what do you say, Jesus? Jesus, what do you say? God, that your voice would be loudest in our ears, that we wouldn't think that just because everyone is going in a different way, God, that we wouldn't follow the crowd, but we would follow you. God, that we would be lead followers in our lives that say, follow me as I follow Christ. Yeah, there's not going to be a whole lot of people over here. This isn't the direction that the crowd is moving, but this is where Jesus is. He is strong and he is faithful. He knows what he's doing, even when we don't know what we're doing, but he is steady. God, that we would follow the steady way that is you, that doesn't change with the waves, that doesn't change with the wind blowing, that doesn't change with the storms, but you are our constant. You are our rock, Father, that we would find you, our rock, on the narrow way. Father, that our lives would be attractive. That the way that we conduct our lives would be attractive, and that's what will bring a trickle down to the narrow way that where we follow you. God, that the eyes would be opened. God, as Diego prayed, Father, that scales would fall off of eyes to see truth. Father, that your light would illuminate dark places, that it would illuminate the schemes and the plans of the enemy. Father, that what has been hidden would be brought to light. God, that we wouldn't be afraid to follow you, no matter the cost, because you're worth it all. Because Jesus, you found us of value and worth to do what you did for us, to die for us. Even before we chose you, you chose us first, Father. So let us live lives, God, that we would live lives where we follow you in response. God, our lives be in response to your call first. In Jesus' name.
Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are wolves. You will recognize them by their fruit. Are grapes gathered from the thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Lord, I thank you that your word is alive and it moves people. And I just pray that right now, as we read that, there are people that are watching today, and there are people in this room in the family center. I pray that, God, it is not going to get us to your face-to-face in your presence by our works, but it is going to be a heart connect. I pray, God, for real relationship. And I just believe right now, counterfeit cannot satisfy your soul right now. I felt that so strongly. Counterfeit will not satisfy your soul. Counterfeit will not bring you into the presence. Counterfeit will tell you, keep asking, keep asking, keep asking. You're never going to see it. Just keep asking, keep asking. And so I just feel like right now, counterfeit, you've got to go in Jesus' name. And I pray that the presence, the tangible presence of the Holy Spirit right now in this room and through your screens in your living room and through the family center, I just pray right now that tangible presence of the Holy Spirit. God, you know our fruit. And so I pray that you would trim us, that you would prune us, God, to be fruit that walks around and people are like, I know what they carry. And I know that those people are real and they're full of life. And so God, I just pray right now that you would change us, mold us, bring us back to our first love. And that counterfeit is out. It's out. There's no room for counterfeit anymore. We recognize you and we say, get out of here. You will not represent us and you will not represent him. And so we thank you, God, for what you're doing. We thank you, God, for the realness, the presence right now. Invite him into your living room, wherever you're watching, in the family center. Invite him in right now, guys. Just say, God, just saturate me right now with your presence. Holy Spirit, come and just dwell right here within me. Let me feel you. Let me sense you. Let me hear you. Let me see you in Jesus' name so that we know that we are walking on the path that leads to truth and righteousness and holiness in Jesus' name.
In verse 24, Jesus is landing the plane here. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. Can we give the Lord a shout of praise for his word this morning? Come on, can we just give him a shout of praise for the words of Jesus? We thank you for the kingdom. We thank you for the kingdom. Come on, don't stop, church. In the family center, come on. We thank you for these words, our life. These words are life. You show us the way. Jesus, you're showing us the way. 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 Father, we want to be those that build on the solid rock. We want to be those that not just hear your words, but we want to be those that respond. We want to be those that when we leave this room today, we walk out and we don't just say, oh, wasn't that great to hear that? But we are those that actually walk out and begin to live this. And in so, we build with you. I just see all over this room, all over this city, believers building with you on solid places. Because we're not just ascending to ideas, we're actually walking out the truth. We're actually walking out what you said. And I pray in Jesus' name, even today, that just like you said, you've heard it said, but I say, Father, I pray you would challenge our belief systems today. The things that we picked up along the way, the things that we picked up that aren't you, I pray you challenge them today, that when we walk out of here, that we would walk in a greater measure in the likeness of Jesus. And I pray that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Would you stand with me this morning? We are way overdue in our time, but I just believe we're going to take communion in a second. These guys are going to go down. Would you give them a hand and thank them for being a part this morning? If you have your communion elements, would you just grab them? How many were challenged by Jesus' sermon today? When I was praying about this, and we decided to do this, what I saw was like Holy Spirit arrows getting shot all over to pierce our hearts with his word and his goodness. Did anybody get shot today? It's a good kind of shoot. Oh, Lord. Can we just lift this up? This cup. It says the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it. Actually, we'll lift the bread up. He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Can we just break this little piece together? And can we just give thanks to him right now for his body that was broken out loud together? Can we just give thanks? We remember and we thank you. We thank you for what you endured, for what your body endured. We thank you for the 39 lashes that your body took for us. We thank you that you are crushed for us. And Lord, as we take this today, we don't just remember what you did, we remember all that you said, that we just heard, that you invite us into kingdom living. And you did it by your entire life all the way to the cross where you laid everything down for us. And we just want to say we are grateful people. We are grateful and thankful people that not only eternal life, but that your body and your blood paid for everything for us to walk into everything that you just called us to live in. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you, with resurrection power, empower us to walk out what Jesus calls us to. Come on, let's take of this bread together. Let's lift this cup up. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Can we just lift this up and just plead the blood of Jesus all over this room this morning? We plead the blood of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus. We thank you that this blood heals, it saves, it delivers, it sets free. I thank you that anyone that is bound today, there is freedom for every bondage in Jesus' name. I thank you that for people all over this room today that need healing, there is healing in Jesus' name. I thank you that the beating that you took, the stripes that you took that hurt you, that almost just went so deep that organs were exposed, I thank you today that healing is ours because of it, that by your stripes we are healed. I thank you that all over this room this morning, that even right now at the mention of your name, you are breaking into impossible situations in your blood. We plead the blood of Jesus over our children and over our families. Can we do that right now? We plead the blood of Jesus over our families, our friendships. We plead the blood of Jesus over our city. We plead the blood of Jesus over our nation. And we thank you for it today. And we remember not only what you did in the finished work of the cross, but we remember what you called us to live. And we want to be faithful to it. And as we drink this cup, we remember. Let's drink together. One more time, can we just thank him out loud together? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to invite our ministry team to come forward this morning, to just come to the front of the room. You might be here and you might need some specific prayer for something. Maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus. We would love to tell you about him. He loves you so much. Church, were you encouraged today by the sermon from Jesus? Can we give the Lord one more big clap and shout of praise together? Like for real this time, come on. Thank you, Lord. Guys, we get to walk out of here
And we get to step into all that he's called us to in the power of the Spirit. He's going to show us how to walk this out this week. We love you. We'll see you Wednesday night for prayer. I hope you can come. God bless you.